You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, August 4th. The Trump administration could soon fast-track logging and mining approvals by limiting public input. OPB's April Ehrlich has more on what that means for the Northwest.
More than half of the land in Oregon is federally owned, as is 30% in Washington. When the federal government plans a project that could harm the environment, like through logging or cattle grazing, it needs to let the public weigh in. The Trump administration is proposing changes that would drastically limit that public input. Randy Rasmussen of Corvallis helps lead the Backcountry Horsemen of America. He says this could be a blow to outdoor recreation.
The public will be more and more shut out on decisions that affect our livelihoods, our recreational activities, the things that we all as Oregonians care about.
The proposed changes are coming to a 55-year-old law called the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. The Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, and other agencies are accepting public comments on these changes to NEPA until Monday. I'm April Ehrlich reporting.
Some Oregon state parks will see increased parking and visitor fees later this year. Starting October 1st, 21 state parks will require a $10 parking permit for Oregon residents and a $12 permit for out-of-state visitors. That includes both Fort Stevens State Park and Tolovana Beach State Recreation Site in Clatsop County, as well as Oswald West State Park in Tillamook County. The increases come as the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department looks to lessen a widening budget shortfall. Park leaders say the reasons for the shortfall include increased costs, repairs from record-setting numbers of visitors over the past few years, and fewer dollars from the Oregon Lottery. Visitors who walk or bike to the state parks will be exempt from the charges, as will visitors with an active 12 or 24-month parking permit. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
The Clatsop County Fair wrapped up on Saturday, but I was there on opening day and wanted to bring you this audio postcard. The first day of the fair, Wednesday, was a sunny day, a little windy but warm, perhaps a nice day for a swim. Sergeant Eric Dotson with the Clatsop County Sheriff's Office was preparing to maybe do just that. He was perched on a seat inside a dunk tank, his uniform already soaked through.
And how did you get the short straw?
Actually, this is something that I volunteer for anytime we do it. It's for a good fundraiser, and I love having people come out.
For $5, you got 3 balls, 3 shots at a red target shaped like a stop sign. If you hit it, down went Dotson. For $20, you got a guaranteed dunk. All of it for a good cause, to raise money for Clatsop Animal Assistance, which helps care for animals up for adoption at the county animal shelter.
So we've been open here at the fair about 2 hours. How many times have you gotten dunked?
6, and I've been on this thing for about 20 minutes.
So is it just not that hard to dunk you then?
We've got really great throwers in the county.
Just then, a boy with a broken hand stepped up, wanting to try for dunk number 7. They let him step a little closer for his first shot.
Woo! All right, we got 2 more to go.
Behind the dunk tank stretched the indoor arena where dozens of kids prepared to show animals. Among them was a girl named Brooklyn from Napa and her pig, Zesty.
We already did our market show, but I'm going to show him in showmanship tonight. And then he's going to go to the auction, and then he's going to get auctioned off for meat.
If you were to describe it to somebody who doesn't really understand what you have to get a pig to do, like what are you focusing on when you take him out there?
You're trying to focus on showing the judge the best parts of your pig, and basically what's best with your pig, and you want to show that you've worked with your animal and you know what you're doing.
Turner, also from Napa, had his pigs nearby, and he had some tips for showing an animal.
Just work with them, spend time with them, build a bond, and then some, graham crackers and marshmallows work great if you're trying to get them around somewhere.
In barns at the back of the arena, a sheep named Robert was still damp from a pre-show shower and in need of some blow drying.
Where do you think you're going? Use the dryer on him first.
And he wasn't making it easy. Cammie, the 4-H club member assigned to take care of Robert, was working with another 4-H club member, Noah, to get Robert up onto a stand.
Oh, shut up, you're okay. All right, here we are.
Don't tell Robert, but Cammie said she prefers taking care of pigs. I'm Katie Frankowitz, always happy to be reporting from a county fair.
Co-management of a Chinook salmon hatchery on the Coquille River in southwest Oregon has helped the fish population thrive again. Jefferson Public Radio's Roman Battaglia reports that means Chinook fishing could return soon.
Natural populations of Chinook salmon plummeted in 2018 because too many were being eaten by non-native smallmouth bass. The fish hatchery breeding Chinook for the Coquille was also struggling to catch enough fish for its program. John Ogan is the executive director of natural resources with the Coquille tribe, which became co-manager of the hatchery in 2022.
The state was struggling by itself, even with the hatchery program. When the tribe secured its co-management agreement, we really reached out to the community and said, we all have to do this together.
Ogan says they've been able to overhaul the hatchery program to become much more successful. He says they're hoping to bring back Chinook salmon fishing on the river starting this fall. Ogan says natural Chinook are still struggling, but they plan on continuing to restore habitat, removing non-native species, and introducing hatchery fish to recover the population. I'm Roman Battaglia reporting.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency has formally denied Oregon's request for disaster funding for spring flooding in Harney County. This came just days after the agency approved flood relief in southern Oregon. Antonio Sierra has more.
In a letter to the governor, FEMA wrote that it couldn't group Harney County together with the other counties because the floods were unrelated. By itself, the county didn't meet the federal government's damage threshold either. It's a blow to a rural county that saw hundreds of homes damaged in the city of Burns and on the Burns Paiute Reservation. But Burns City Manager Judy Irwin says she expected FEMA's decision.
I wasn't surprised because I never believed FEMA was ever going to help us. It was a slap in the face, however, that they helped all the other counties and omitted ours.
Oregon is sending $6 million to Burns and Harney County for sewer repairs and flood mitigation. Irwin says local officials will now seek private funding to help pay for home repairs. Antonio Sierra reporting.
A new peer-reviewed study shows Idaho lost a net 35% of its OBGYNs after the overturn of the federal right to abortion 3 years ago. NWPB's Rachel Sun reports.
Idaho lost 114 OBGYNs between the implementation of its abortion bans in 2022 and December of last year. That's according to a study published by a team of Idaho-based researchers. Data suggests those changes are hitting rural communities the hardest. The study showed 85% of OBGYNs in Idaho practice in the seven most populated counties. In the remaining 37 counties, just 23 OBGYNs serve a population of 569,000 Idahoans. I'm Rachel Sun reporting.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, mostly cloudy today with highs in the mid-60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows in the low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with highs in the high 60s. Showers likely later tomorrow night, otherwise cloudy with lows in the high 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.